Joining me now is South Australian Senator Anne Rustin, who's the Shadow Minister of Health, Aged Care and also the Shadow Minister for Sport, and the Senator is on the line. Good morning, Senator.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good.
The bells are already ringing.
I beg your pardon?
I said you can tell where I am. The bells are already
starting. Ah, right. Well, look, I must ask. The government did say they'd reveal this legislation they're hoping to pass today to overcome the problems that have been associated with the High Court's decision last week. And I believe they said that around about 7:15 they'd make that available to the opposition. Has that happened yet?
Well, I haven't seen it. There's a briefing later this morning, but Thaddeus, or Attorney General, will be the first person to get it. But, you know, it's a pretty serious situation that we've seen unfold since that decision of the High Court. So, I think everybody is waiting, you know, with great anxiety to see what that legislation is, because it's a pretty distressing thought to think some of these people with the criminal convictions that they have on their record have been released into our community.
It does seem ridiculous, but I gather the government had no option but to release the, I think it's 83, who were in indefinite detention. Is that correct? They did have no option other than to release them?
Well, obviously the decision of the High Court has resulted in them being released, but I think the most concerning thing is today we don't have the reasons for why they've been released. So hopefully this morning a little bit more will be revealed with the legislation that the government's bringing forward. But I suppose it's a bit disappointing the government wasn't better prepared for this outcome.
Well, as I understand it, they did have meetings with Border Force, the AFP and State Police Forces prior to this decision, given that they thought this could go, the way that they hoped it wouldn't go. Difficult situation. Be interesting to see what happens today anyway. Yeah, but I was under the understanding, I think at 7:15 it was going to be made available what this new legislation is, so I dare say we'll find out very shortly. Look, you released a press release yesterday, and I'm quoting here, as the cost of living crisis continues to hit Australian families, the Albanese Labor government has broken its promise to make it cheaper and easier to see a doctor. And look, we know that bulk billing rates have been decreasing. Well, they've been decreasing for a number of years, not just under this current government, but it has plummeted. I mean, what can, other than a massive injection of funds, what do we do to overcome this, the fact that so few GPs actually bulk bill now?
Well, first of all, the rate of bulk billing was at an all-time high under the coalition government, and we were very proud of our record of getting the bulk billing rates up. What we've seen in the space of just 18 months is that bulk billing rates have dropped to the level that we saw in the previous Labor government. So it is very concerning that this trend has been so quick. And month on month, we have seen bulk billing rates drop in the last 18 months. In fact, they've dropped, really from, 88% under us in our last time in government 18 months ago down to 76%. But most distressingly, I think, is the fact that over the last year we've seen a halving of the number of GP clinics that are bulk billing. So it's pretty serious, but it's not just about an injection of more funding to GPs. I think it's very much about a whole suite of measures to try and make sure that general practice is the centrepiece of our primary care system, and making sure that the funding is targeted where it's actually going to have an impact. Because unless the tripling of the bulk billing incentive is enough to make a clinic bulk bill, the policy is not worth the paper it's written on, and we already know experts are coming out and saying they don't believe that this is going to benefit the vast majority of Australians. And in fact, some have even said that they don't necessarily believe that one more bulk bill consult will occur as a result of it.
Right. We keep hearing, too, that the number of medical graduates that choose to go into general practice is declining rapidly. They all want to specialise. I mean, how do we overcome that?
Well, the first thing is I think we have to put general practice back into the centrepiece of our health system, because we all know that prevention, early intervention, testing and screening, and making sure that we're dealing with people when they first become unwell, or making sure that they don't become unwell in the first place, is the most efficient and effective way of maintaining our health system. But it's also the best thing for people. I mean, we need to give people the tools to be able to be as healthy as they possibly can be. And right now, I think we have diminished the reputation of general practice to the extent where, as you say, graduates are choosing to go into the specialties instead of going into general practice. We have to make sure that the medical graduates understand what a fantastic career general practice is, and then we have to celebrate it value, and you make sure that people understand the value of general practice, because it is, as I say, it's the corner piece of our health system.
Easier said than done, though, Senator. I mean, I'm continually reading stories about regional areas where they don't have any doctors.
Look, absolutely. And I think what we've got to do as governments collectively, not just the federal government but state governments as well, is that we have to start pulling the levers to make sure that primary practice is getting the rewards that it needs. I mean, quite distressingly, the Health of the Nation report yesterday released by the Royal College of General Practice said only 6.5% of the health budget goes to general practice. And when you consider the place where we can save the most money, where we can make sure people are the healthiest and are treated the earliest, it seems a disproportionately small amount of money to be investing. Even worse statistic, only 1.5% of the health budget is spent on preventative health. So I think we need to have a look at where we're spending the money, not necessarily how much we're spending.
All right. Look, I'll accuse you of hypocrisy here, because it was under the previous government, your government, that you cut to the funding here in Newcastle to the GP Access After Hours Clinic, which I think, you know, most people would agree is a terrific service, and it certainly takes the pressure off emergency departments in public hospital, whereby people are showing up there because they can get bulk billed. These GP Access After Hours Clinic offered an alternative, which was all bulk billed, but it was the previous government, your government, that cut funding. That has been restored. And I think the Albanese government have said, look, it's a model they'd like to see reproduced around the country. Would you like to see this GP Access After Hours, this particular model, reproduced right around Australia?
Well, look, I think the first thing that we've got to realise in terms of any actions or any policies that we put in place to help get better access to general practice is the critical issue is workforce. We don't have enough GPs. And we don't have enough health workers. I mean, we know we don't have enough registered nurses. We don't have enough of allied health workers. So the first crisis that we have to deal with in this country is workforce. Once we've, and if we're able to do that, then of course we need to move to models of care that are going to best suit Australians. And I certainly do support the idea of a multidisciplinary approach to care, because when you go in to see a GP, some of the clinics, and Launceston has got a fantastic example of one of these clinics, the ability to actually get all the services in the one place is really important. But we have to remember, just sticking a badge on the front of a building and saying that it's an urgent care clinic does not actually change the dial at all. It's what actually happens. And unless we've got workforce, we can't change the dial.
Well, and look, according to that report, that the RAC GP report shows more GPs are looking to cut back their hours or, in fact, leave the profession altogether. I think the figures show that nearly 3 in 10 GPs signalling their intention to retire in the next 5 years, so the problem's only going to get worse. And look, on a slightly different tack, my guest, South Australian Senator Anne Rustin, who's the Shadow Minister for Health and Aged Care, I notice there's been a lot of talk about a resurgence in COVID as we head to the warmer weather. And I noticed yesterday an aged care facility in the Northern Territory is in lockdown because I think a third of all the staff and patients have actually tested positive. We're becoming a bit blasé about the old COVID-19, aren't we, Senator?
Well, look, I certainly think that one thing that we do need to do is we need to understand we need to move to, a mode of living with COVID. But one thing is for sure, it's not gone, and it probably will never be gone. So we have to make sure that we've got provisions in place to manage what is going to be an ongoing health issue for this nation. But, you know, distressingly, we've seen the rate of vaccinations plummet, particularly in aged care facilities. So I think there needs to be a resurgence of a campaign so that older Australians particularly understand the value of vaccination. There has been a very strong reliance on antivirals and making sure that antivirals are available, particularly to vulnerable Australians when they do contract COVID. So I think it's probably a lesson in that we cannot ever be complacent about COVID. It is always going to be a threat in our community. So we need to make sure that we've got the health measures in place, vaccination, antivirals, and maintaining all of the practices that we know, hygiene practices that we know, have helped us through the last 3 years as COVID's rolled through our community.
I'll get you to take off the health hat and put on the Shadow Minister for Sport hat. I know you're a great supporter of women's sport. Pleased to see Matilda. Matilda, now the word of the year, according to, well, down in Canberra, released yesterday, which is good. And look, while we're talking about the round ball game, Matilda's, the Socceroos begin their campaign for the World Cup in 2026 tonight. They play Bangladesh. You're obviously hoping for an Aussie whiz in there and in the cricket in the semi-final of the ODI World Cup happening in India. We take on South Africa, India through to the final on Sunday, and hopefully Australia will make it. You'll be watching plenty of sport over the next couple of days. Oh, and you've got the... I noticed you put up on social media the Beach Volleyball World Championship happening down in your area in Adelaide over the weekend as well. Plenty of sport to keep your eye on.
Absolutely. So it'll be fantastic tonight to see the Socceroos take the in Melbourne against Bangladesh. Obviously, there will be a very high expectation that we would be successful. But, you know, I think it's a great night for Graham Arnold, our coach. And, you know, he has done just such an amazing job. And I think he, along with, you know, our other great coach that's now been stolen and living in the UK, we really are showing that we've moved into the grown-ups game when it comes to playing soccer in Australia. So certainly looking forward to seeing that tonight, and obviously our guys next week in Kuwait hopefully being successful as well. But yeah, great game of cricket last night, all paired to India. They showed what an extraordinary team that they are. But let's hope we can get past South Africa tonight so we can have a crack at them for the final.
Go the Aussies. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Senator. I hope you have a good Thursday.
Thanks, Richard. Take care.
South Australian Senator Anne Rustin, who's the Shadow Minister for Health, Aged Care and also Sport.